The Christian life is a paradox in and of itself. The whole Christian life is a paradox. You win by losing. The biggest enemy we have as a born-again Christian is our self. I would like to say the devil's, he's an enemy, and he's a bad enemy, and he can hurt you. But if you don't listen to him, he can't. And so he can't force himself on you. You have to say yes or no, right? And your flesh is an enemy. That's the old man. That's the old man and is not redeemable. Your old man does not get better with time. Now, theologically liberal people believe that there's a little spark of good in us, everybody. And that if you have the right circumstances and the right environment, it'll fan it and maybe burst into a flame and you'll become a good enough person that maybe when you stand before God, he'll say, come on into my kingdom, you're good enough. Of course, if that's true, then there'll be no reason for Jesus to die. Jesus died because there was no other way. If there had been another way, I mean, if Muhammad had been the way, then Jesus wouldn't die. If Buddha had been the way, Jesus wouldn't die. If the Hindu, the million gods of the Hindus had, one of them had been able to save you, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. God the Father did not flippantly send his son, his only begotten son, so that he could go through what he did, become servant, made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion man, humble himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the horror that we can never get in and will never be able to understand, you're never going to be able to put your mind around what was going through, what was happening to Jesus at Gethsemane, you're never going to be able to put your mind around. Some of us think, well, he was dreading the being humiliated, being smacked in the face, hit with their fists, being scourged by the Romans. Now, everybody would be scared about that, scourged by the Romans and all of that. But I don't believe that was really what was it. The great drops of, as it were, great drops of blood that were coming out of Jesus was internal. It wasn't about his body. It was about he was going to become sin for us who knew no sin. And so the fact that somehow he would be separated from the Father when that moment happened where he would cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was big. And we don't, and I still do not, and I don't think a human being can understand and put your mind around everything that happened on Calvary between God the Father and God the Son. But I can tell you, I can tell you it was big. It was big. And so, when a person comes to Christ and you repent of your sin and ask him to save you, of course you mean it with your heart. Underwritten under everything we do as a Christian is with your whole heart. If people are doing it for anybody else or they're just, mom and dad or brother, sister, pressure from the preacher, you pray a prayer. You don't get saved. You get saved when you come to God. The Bible says, a godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, that not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. It's got to be real, right? I mean, it's got to be real and with your whole heart. So you come to God with your whole heart and you repent of your sin. You're sorry for your sin. Part of when I got saved, I was just sorry that I sinned against God. I was sorry that I disappointed him. And there was we realize that's Holy Spirit, in some way, Holy Spirit created and assisted sorrow. Because he's showing you, the Holy Spirit, in one of his ministry to us, one of his ministries to us is to show us what we look like to God. When you look in the mirror, you look at yourself fairly complimentary. I'm just going to tell you that the human ego pretty much looks in the mirror and says, well, that's not too bad. Now, the rest of the people around you are going, wow, that's some serious ugly. But you're going there, that's not too bad. You know, we're easy on ourselves. We're complimentary of ourselves. I've asked God, and boy, you've got to be careful about when you ask him this. Show me what I look like. Ooh, the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal your dark heart, your dark thoughts, your selfishnesses. And you begin to get sorrowful, godly sorrow. And what's that, where's that take you? It works you to repentance. You say, God, I denounce those thoughts. I denounce that life. I denounce that behavior. It's wicked and wrong, and it would send me to hell if, by the grace of God, if you hadn't come to save me. And that's what this Christian paradox thing is all about. We triumph by defeat. We triumph by defeat. We're unbeatable in Christ if you'll submit to the things of God. Now, when you know you're in suffering, in the middle of suffering, you're not sitting there going, "Woohoo! I get to suffer again for Jesus." No, but you can say, "I know that He'll work all things together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." And you can say that this suffering I'm going through somehow is going to be for the glory of God if I will accept it. I preached a sermon called Embrace It. It's from my niece who has an autistic child. She came to this place in her life where she just had to, instead of fight it, she just embraced it. I'm going to have an autistic child the rest of my life. And I'm going to ask God to somehow use it. And there are days, she said to Bill, I don't know how in the world she's ever going to, why he would, you don't know the whys, right? You just trust God for it. We triumph by defeat. The verse you're familiar with, in fact, we plowed around in this section of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, because Paul wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you understand God allowed the messenger of Satan to come. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. If God didn't allow it, He wouldn't have sought God for it. But He knew God could bring it and God could take it away. He understood it. So, but at my departure. Now, the great and mighty prayer warrior as he was, Apostle Paul, gets before God and he says, "I want it to go away. I want it to go away. Please take it away. Take it away. I'll be better if you take it away. This thing's really hindering me." And God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or complete or totally what it ought to be in weakness." That's that paradox. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's maturity there. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and you read a mature individual. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort, the God of all comfort is going to use this. He said, in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "Man, we despaired of life. Things went so bad for us that we despaired." Y'all despair? Everybody ever have despair? There's moments of despair. When your boy gets sick like that, there's moments of despair. Literally, you don't even know where to go. You just despair. "But good to see you, Bruce. God bless you, mercy, your sweet wife. Did you have 5 girls?" Unbelievably survived that. Amen. He knows what I'm talking about. And just so you don't think I'm senile, I'm going to repeat what I repeated before, but I know I'm repeating it. The most loved man in America. I say that every time I see you, but I always remember I've said it before. That makes a difference. Now, the third time you guys do Thermopolis, I'm going to have a meeting with you. Okay. Oh, this is okay. It's all right. But when you, as a born-again believer, take control of your life and begin to live it your way, You lose. When you give it to God, you win. It's a paradox. Another one. I want to get through this. I'm getting through this now. One way or another, we're getting through this. Number 10, we find victory by glorying in our infirmities. These are similar, by the way. 2 Corinthians 12:5, of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. He's talking about being taken to third heaven and things like that. And did Paul die and go to heaven? I think he did, you know. You can't theologically prove any of that, but looks like that to me. He saw things in heaven, heard things in heaven. He was told not to repeat. That's the things he said were unlawful. Something is unlawful when you're told not to do it. As soon as you're told not to do it, it's unlawful for you to do it. So he saw things that were not lawful to repeat because he was told not to repeat it. Because God is hiding things from us so that we will walk by faith. And he can, I had a thought this afternoon. I about had a spell. I'm going to preach a whole message around it. I'm going to preach a whole message around it. Just this exciting thought that God gave me when I was meditating about this stuff. And it says, we find victory by glorying in our infirmities. Glory to God. I'm going to use what's happened to me for His glory. A girl's molested as a child. You can use that for the glory of God. You don't have to let your molester be king. You can let Jesus be king and use it for the glory of God. You can get raped as a woman down the road. Numbers of girls get raped, Christian girls. And you can use that for the glory of God. That person that did that does not have to control you. Does not have to have victory. God can use it. You can help people with it. There's nothing can happen to you that if you don't give it to God and submit to it, that God can't let you use it for His honor and glory. That's big. Another one we have here is number 11. We live by dying. There's a lot I could say. I want to stop here and spend some time, but I can't. I won't get through. John chapter 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, let me tell you what. This world has an attraction to it. It has a thrill to it. It has an excitement to it. It has a glitter to it. And the devil is seeking and encouraging you to spend your life on vain things, things of this world that'll pass away and you'll have no eternal reward for. He can't take you to hell once you get saved, but he can cause you and encourage you to waste your time. I talked about that on Philippians 4:8 when I talked about think on these things. He lists eight things there in Philippians and he tells you it's an imperative. He commands us, keep your mind focused on this. Control what you look at. Control what you see. Boy, that's a big one with the internet. That's big with YouTube. That's big with Facebook or Facebook video. Or I don't know where you're spending your time. Where are you spending your time? Where's your mind at? Wherever your mind's at, that's who you're going to be. Eventually, that's who you're going to be and what you're going to think like. And so he says here, you got to die to grow. That's a paradox. You take a corn, a piece of corn, and as long as you keep that dry, it just remains a piece of corn. But if you let that thing go in the ground, it'll get wet and it'll really kind of rot, and it looks like it rots, it actually doesn't. And a thing will pop out of it, a root will go down, plant will go up, and pretty soon you get a plant about yay tall. Remember, Tom? You get them big tall corn plants. 8 foot tall corn plants. And you get about a good corn plant. You farmers here, 5 years. 5 years on a plant. You get 5 years on a plant. You got, man, that corn. A lot of times a plant will have 3 years, but I've seen 5 years and I'm not even sure if I ever saw 6 years. I may have, but 5 years from one seed, 5 years of corn come out. That's what God said He'll do through you. I want my life to mean something and help other people go to heaven. How about you? Don't you want other people to go to heaven because you lived? I want some people to go to heaven because Bill Lytle walked on this planet for a little while, and then eventually, you know, I'm gonna be gone. You know, you'll be, and you won't really be remembered. And by the way, it's not important that you're remembered by people. It's important you're remembered by God. Amen. And if you help people go to heaven, they're gonna remember you anyway. You're gonna say, boy, it was so good that so-and-so pushed me towards the light or encouraged me to be saved. And by the way, when a person gets saved, it's been said it takes about 7.5 times here in the gospel before they get saved. And I don't know what that 0.5, where it came from. But it makes sense to me that people don't get saved the first time they ever hear the gospel. That maybe their mother told them the gospel, maybe their grandmother told them the gospel, maybe the preacher told them the gospel, maybe a deacon told them the gospel, maybe a friend ended up telling them the gospel, maybe they met somebody, maybe they got a gospel tract somewhere and read it, and eventually the Holy Spirit makes the eyes open and they can see the gospel that they're lost and in need of a Savior. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And so you bow your head and your heart, as it were, and ask Him to be your Savior, forgive you. You say, is there a special prayer to pray to get saved? I don't think so. I think it's a whole lot of the heart. I understand the theology of it. You need to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He died and was resurrected. The resurrection is essential to being saved. It's essential. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's essential. But not a whole lot of theology is essential. You got to realize you're a sinner, unable to save yourself, that Christ came and He died and He is who He said He was, basically. And when he's been resurrected, conquered death, hell, and the grave. I mean, you don't even need to know all that. You know, I'm not sure what the thief on the cross knew, but I don't think he knew a lot. He had ridiculed Jesus and derided Jesus before that. And as that thing wore on, he began to think of himself. And the Holy Spirit convicted him, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus in the pain. You know, have you ever been in pain to the place you don't even want to talk? I've been so sick and in pain I couldn't pray. I could not pray. And Jesus stopped the pain. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Caring about that old thief on the cross. So anyways, we got number 12. We're going to do it. Number 12. Ooh, it makes me dizzy. Because we are blind, we see. This comes where the Pharisees, he mentions the Pharisees in John chapter 9, verse 40 through 41. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? He said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. It's a paradox. I'll speak to people about their soul and they'll say, when you die, you're going to heaven. I'm going. Why? I've tried to be good. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. They think they see. They think they see the way to heaven, but they're blind. They don't see it. And one of the most grievous things going door to door is the blindness of so many people. If you died today, where would you go? I believe I'd go to heaven. Most of the answers that people give me, they're going to heaven. Most of them. Not too many people come and admit to me, I'm going to hell. Not many. A few. Some of them sarcastically, you know, that's where all my friends are going to be. But then some of them more seriously say, if I died today, I believe I would go to hell. But most people say, I'm going to heaven somehow or another. Or purgatory, which is a heresy. It's not taught in the Bible anywhere. Purgatory. People think purgatory is right here. But it's not. Some people said hell's on earth. It's not. You don't know anything about hell to say that. They say they see, but they're blind. It's a paradox. God, I don't know. I need your help. I'm blind. And He'll let you see. The more you humble yourself, the more He'll raise you up. And then I believe this will be the last one. By the way, I got to put a little caveat here, a little pause. Thank God for Governor DeSantis, who declared COVID over. The emergency is over. Over in the state of Florida. It's over. No masks are needed. No social distancing is needed. You don't have to. You can go back to real life. I just love Florida. I'm sorry. North Carolina's had a rough row, but we are in the great state, I should say the free state of Florida. It's been good. And I got COVID and got over it, so I'm immune, didn't have to take a shot, don't have to worry about growing a third arm. They say the people taking the vaccination, we're going to have 74% of all the adults in Florida will have taken their vaccination by July. I will not be one of them. And that's not because it's because now I'm immune. The nurse said, you're immune for a good 9 months, Bill. I said, amen, I'm banking on how about 12 months. I don't discourage people from taking the vaccine now because I know if you feel to do it, you feel good with it, you go ahead and do it. I'm just watching you. I'm watching you, brother. I got my eye on you. I'll tell you, if your hair grows back, I know some people are going to take it. And I'll tell you one thing, if you get a full head of hair after that vaccine, every adult I know almost is bald going to get one. I don't know. Doug says he ain't going to do it. You got so much hair down here, just transfer. That's right. I'm sorry I had to stop for that. I have some good news. Turn the world upside down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 8, 10. He says, by honor, by dishonor, by evil report, by good report. This is referring to the way they're referred to, and he's been referred to. He's been treated as a deceiver, and yet he's true. He's really as treated as unknown, yet he's well known. He's as he's dying, yet behold, he lives. He's chastised, but he's not killed. He's sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He's as poor, yet making many rich. And having nothing, yet he possesses all things. That's the paradox of Scripture. Paradox of Scripture. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I got to be careful here. God has the ability, all the pain and trouble that anybody has had, and some people have had more than others. You remember the girl Johnny, J-O-N-I, she jumped off a bridge, broke her neck. I knew a kid that did that when I was a young man. I knew a kid that did that. Except he died. Johnny did not die. She cannot change herself. She cannot bathe herself. She can barely move. She's had somebody have to do that for her whole life. God is going to reward her so much on the other side that she won't even remember any of that suffering. Our God has the ability to make up for trouble. I'll show you that when I get the sermon ready. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag on that. But he has the ability, and it mentioned in Scripture about causing all of that suffering to just... I know that's true because there's going to be no crying in heaven eventually. And you can't have bad memories. If you have bad memories, you'd cry. I have people, now let me say this is a sober thing, and I'll quit with this. My father-in-law died lost. He was 48 years old. He died lost. No doubt in my mind. He's in hell, been in hell now since 1971. My wife, that's a hard memory for her. Her daddy. Her daddy's gone. We'll bring him back. He's lost. God's going to wipe that away from her. It's going to be wiped away. If it wasn't wiped away, you couldn't be in heaven. Heaven won't be heaven. In God's mercy, He's wiping that stuff away. I've heard wives have husbands die lost, and husbands have wives die lost. And they say, how can I live? How can I go to heaven without my wife? You'll be able to. God's going to make it okay. I can't live without him. Yes, you can. Because God will make you have to do stuff that you're not even in your imagination. You don't even know you can do. I have not seen nor heard nor entered in the heart of man what God prepared for them that love him. So that God's going to do stuff for us that we haven't even imagined he could do or will do, but he's going to do it. I know one thing about God. He's good. He's going to take care of you all the way home. He'll take care of you. Our Father, thank you for the few minutes together. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the blessings of the book and the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for those who've come by tonight. I hope they go away and the Holy Spirit encourages them for being here. And may God, you just build your church all over the world. Everybody that's standing for the old time religion and the things of God, may you bless them and help them. Be with Joel and as he recovers and gets better, and that testimony may go on for many, many years. Thousands of people may be encouraged through his testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.